The American record business was shocked in 1923 when fiddler John Carson sold hundreds of thousands of copies of his record, The Little Old Log Cabin in the Lane, and proved that white rural Southerners bought records. Soon they discovered that black Southerners did too, and the race was on for talent. Usually talent scouts relied on local informants, but sometimes they just set up in a city to see what happened. Music historian Ed Ward reports on one of the stranger casting calls from that era.
In July 1927, the RCA Victor Company sent Ralph Peer to Bristol, a town on the Virginia-Tennessee border, with a portable recording studio, advancing him with ads in the local newspapers saying they were looking for talent. At the end of the 10-day period, Peer had discovered and signed both Jimmy Rogers and the Carter family, laying the foundations for commercial country music and providing America with two of its first superstar acts. Peer had begun his career in 1923 at OK Records, which specialized in hillbilly and race, which is to say black, acts. OK was quite a successful label, and among its finds were Mississippi John Hurt, the Stoneman family, Frank Hutchison, and Roosevelt Sykes, all important pioneers in their varied fields. Like many other labels, it copied RCA's Bristol strategy, and recently Rob Curry, a Richmond punk rocker and former member of the band Guar, compiled a double CD of the last of these sessions, held in October 1929 in Richmond, Virginia. Like the more celebrated Bristol sessions, this is a snapshot of what Greil Marcus has called the old weird America, a snapshot of what ordinary Americans were playing at home in the days before mass media.
When the work on earth is done and the crown of victory won, we shall hear a welcome home up on high. He will bid us welcome there, it was mansions bright and fair. Oh, we surely shall all have glory by and by. Oh, the glory by and by, oh, the glory by and by, in that home.
There were a lot of hymns. Billy Lamb had already recorded for OK in 1927 with the group we just heard, the Greene County Singers, who were his wife, her brother, and her mother. Although their previous five records hadn't sold, OK gave them a shot with two more during this week.
It is the sign of judgment, yeah.
Time is drawing nigh.
You can read in Ephesians.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yes, oh Lord, the time is drawing nigh.
I say, yes,
the time is drawing nigh.
Oh, you can read.
Unlike RCA, OK was looking for black talent, and they managed to draw several a cappella quartets, like the Golden Crown Quartet here. It's hardly surprising that their records flopped. This was a very old-fashioned style, and to the extent that gospel records were selling, it was earthier, more contemporary artists who were making them. But the weirdest hymn recorded in these sessions was this one. That's Whispering Hope, a classic, in a recording by the Tubi's Royal Hawaiian Orchestra, a group largely made up of employees of the local Tubi's Artificial Silk Company. Hawaiian music was big and getting bigger, and no tent show is complete without a Hawaiian band and hula dancers. But what led this group to decide that a hymn was their path to fame is anybody's guess. There was also, of course, secular music offered up by the hopefuls, including one blues performer who had a bit of a local reputation. Nobody's sure who Blues Birdhead was, although it's likely he was James Simons, a local entertainer who was a favorite with black and white audiences. But his record has some notoriety because of his odd, horn-like style. Then, of course, there was hillbilly music. Babe Spangler was probably the most famous local fiddler, having appeared on nationwide radio and won the 1927 Virginia State Fiddlers Contest. His two sides are the most professional in this entire set. The competition wasn't even close. Performance like the Salem Highballers' Snowbird on the Ash Bank was okay for a barn dance, but since it goes on for 3 minutes with almost no variation, it didn't make for such a hot record. The same could be said for the four sides cut by the Roanoke Jug Band, an old-timey group with a fiddle, guitar, mandolin, and banjo, but for some reason, no jug. The more I listen to this collection, the more of a disaster OK's trip to Richmond sounds like, but history dealt them the final blow. 3 days after OK packed up its equipment and went back to New York, the bottom fell out of the stock market, signaling the beginning of the end for America's first great recording boom.
Ed Ward writes about music from Berlin.